Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek won't step down but is considering options for holding early elections. Czech pharmacists will join a strike by the nation's general practitioners in protest of late payments by insurers, and two police officials are demoted for their handling of a neo-Nazi concert. Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek on Monday soundly rejected demands by the main opposition Civic Democratic Party that he step down to pave the way for early elections in December. Paroubek had said at the weekend elections could be held in February or March, about 3 months early, by passing a law that would shorten the government's term. He did so following signals from the leaders of the minor parties in his coalition government that they were willing to form a new government with the opposition Civic Democrats. Under the Constitution, early elections may be held after Parliament rejects a confidence vote in the government 3 times. Prime Minister Paroubek has proposed adopting an amendment to the Constitution, allowing that process to be bypassed. Czech pharmacies will close their doors at noon on October 6th for 1 hour in support of a planned all-day strike by general practitioners. The actions have been called to protest the chronic failure of health insurers to reimburse medical professionals on time. For their part, insurers say they are 2 months or more behind in reimbursements because they receive too little state support to insure civil servants, the unemployed, and retirees. Two Czech police officials have been demoted for their poor handling of a neo-Nazi concert that took place in southern Bohemia a week ago Saturday. Some 500 Czech skinheads and extremists from other countries attended the concert near the town of Strakonice. According to a complaint by observers from the anti-racist group Tolerance, police monitored the event but failed to intervene when participants shouted Nazi slogans, a criminal offense in the Czech Republic. The president of the police presidium, Vladislav Husák, on Monday said he has demoted for 1 year both the regional and district deputy department heads directly responsible for that police action. He cited their failure to deploy a sufficient number of officers to the scene and to receive evidence of illegal behavior from the independent observers as factors. Finally, the weather. Overcast skies and light rain is the forecast for the coming days, with temperatures in the high teens. That's the end of the news. I'm Brian Kennedy. Stay tuned now for the rest of the program.
You're listening to Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up in today's program, the country's politicians mull the idea of early elections, but will the Czech people get to vote in the next few months? We'll have to wait and see. The Social Democrat Stanislav Gross announced he's stepping down as leader of the party after 15 years in Czech politics, and happiness for Bohdan Slama as the director's film wins the top award, Best Film Award, at the San Sebastian Film Festival. Don't go away. Although the next general election in the Czech Republic is 8 months away, this weekend marked the beginning of what commentators predict will be a tough election campaign. The impulse came from the ruling Social Democratic Party, which held a meeting of its leadership over the weekend. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
First came the news that the ruling Social Democrats chairman Stanislav Gross was resigning in order to help the party's prospects ahead of the elections. Then Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek unexpectedly went on the offensive, criticizing the opposition, the president, and most of all his coalition partners, the Christian Democrats, whom he accused of playing ball with the opposition right-wing Civic Democratic Party. Taking a leaf out of the book of his close personal friend Gerhard Schröder, the Czech Prime Minister took the bull by the horns and said he was ready for early elections if the Civic Democrats and the Christian Democratic Party wanted to initiate them. He also made it clear that he would cooperate with the communists if necessary to push through key laws and reforms. So was the Prime Minister bluffing about early elections? The opposition Civic Democrats, who immediately called his bluff, believe so. But more importantly, was he bluffing about closer cooperation with the communists? Commentators think not entirely so. Political analyst Vladimira Dvořáková says the Prime Minister needed to bolster his party's position and show that it need not depend exclusively on the goodwill of centre-right parties.
Collaboration with the communists enables social democrats to get from some isolation, because it's sure that they cannot form a cabinet only by themselves. And collaboration with the communists, mainly thinking about the support of the communists in the future minority cabinet, can open the space for them. That means that they can form a cabinet without Christian Democrats. And such aversion against Christian Democrats is rather strong inside Social Democratic Party, partly because of some blackmailing of the Christian Democrats.
So is the Prime Minister's battle cry a serious warning to the unreliable Christian Democrats? Or is it an important message to voters about a pending shift to the left? If the latter is the case, the Prime Minister may be playing a dangerous game. He would no longer be at the mercy of the Christian Democratic Party, but how much would close association with the communists cost his party in terms of voter support? Vladimira Dvorakova again.
Well, it's a question of the counting. I think that they can gain some stronger support, and on the other hand, they can maybe lose some of the potential voters. So it's very difficult to say whether in the result it would be more positive or more negative for a Social Democratic Party.
Despite the heavy-handed rhetoric we heard from both sides, few commentators actually think that the past weekend had brought early elections in the Czech Republic closer. But many are now speaking of a polarization of forces on the Czech political scene, which may not, after all, be such a bad thing in a country where political frontiers tend to be blurred.
Well, as Daniela just mentioned there, one of the political developments over the weekend was the decision by the chairman of the Social Democrats and former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross to step down.
Rozhodl jsem se odejít z politiky a nebudu se ucházet o pozici lídra ve Středočeském kraji.
Here he is making the announcement at the party leadership meeting on Saturday. In a surprise move, Stanislav Gross also said he was not even going to run for a parliament seat in next year's general election. His decision is a landmark on the Czech political scene. After 15 years in high politics and at the still amazingly early age of 36, Mr. Gross is bowing out of public life. Pavla Horáková looks at the untimely end of an extraordinary career.
Stanislav Gross walked into high politics at the age of 22 when he was elected to parliament through the Social Democrats' youth organization. By the time he was 28, he was already deputy chairman of the lower house. At 30, he became interior minister and just 4 years later, prime minister, the youngest in Czech history. But the rise and rise of Stanislav Gross was soon to be followed by a deep plunge.
Chtěl bych se vám omluvit za vysvětlování svých osobních záležitostí.
At the beginning of March this year, then Prime Minister Gross spoke on public television and apologized to the nation for a scandal over his private finances that had broken out a few weeks earlier. A leading Czech paper then found out that Mr. Gross could not have made enough money to pay for his Prague apartment, a question to which Mr. Gross never produced an entirely convincing explanation. In April, Stanislav Gross stepped down and the three-party coalition resigned with him, only to reform immediately under a new leader, Jiří Paroubek. Mr. Gross remained Social Democrat leader. Meanwhile, public support for Stanislav Gross plummeted after years as one of the country's most popular politicians. Since his resignation, Mr. Gross's name has been mentioned in connection with a number of unclarified issues, most recently with the corruption scandal surrounding the privatization of Unipetrol, the country's largest oil and chemicals group. With the country's general election approaching, Mr. Gross said on Saturday that he felt scandalized by the media and tired of the nonsense produced by journalists. Adopting melodramatic tones, he likened himself to a wounded soldier who was to sacrifice himself for the good of the whole platoon. Speaking at Saturday's party meeting, Mr. Gross told his fellow Social Democrats he now wants to devote himself to a private law practice, but admitted he may return in a couple of years, maybe not as a general, but as a mere foot soldier in his party.
Být pěšákem v uniformě sociální demokracie je taky čest. A já tuhle tu čest přijmu rád.
Stanislav Gross's fellow Social Democrats applauding as he announced he was bowing out of politics on Saturday. You're listening to Radio Prague.
Thank you.
music from a film called Something Like Happiness by the Czech director Bohdan Slama. The film won its first major success on the international stage at the weekend, clinching the Best Film Award at the prestigious San Sebastian Film Festival. To add to the film's success, Anya Geislerova won Best Actress for her portrayal of a woman suffering from severe mental problems in the film, which is about ordinary people trying to survive the trials and tribulations of life. I spoke earlier to Tomáš Beldinský, film critic for the magazine Reflex.
San Sebastian is one of the really important festivals. It's A-list festival, it's so-called A-list. It's 11 festivals throughout the world. And when you win at San Sebastian, and when you win against Terry Gilliam and Michael Winterbottom and other very well-known names, it really matters, yeah.
At the press screening of Something Like Happiness, they were handing out tissues to the journalists who were reviewing the film because it was such a tearjerker, such a sad film. Did it have that effect on you?
As a matter of fact, I don't have anything against tearjerkers. When you have some important story to tell, I think that you can use several motives which are called commercial or sentimental or whatever. And I think that this story is about people who are trying to find happiness, and they find it in themselves and in their ability to cope with the life. And I think that this is a kind of story, kind of need. This film is unique in Czech cinematography because of not its that great, but it's very well done. And I don't think we have very much well done movies.
It's also described as a rather bleak film and painting a rather bleak picture of life in the Czech Republic today. Do you think the sort of image of the Czech Republic that Something Like Happiness portrays is a fairly accurate picture of what life is like for many people in this country?
Well, we are not Romania, or we are not, Northern Korea, but still, yeah, it's pretty much accurate because of the director is his main focus. Try to show the life as real as possible. So, yeah, there are people in Czech Republic who live like this. There's a lot of people who live like this, and why should we hide it?
And that was Tomáš Beldinský, film critic for Reflex, on the new Czech film Something Like Happiness. Jan Velegan joins me now in the studio for all the latest sports news. And we begin with a look at football. Last week was a rough one for league champions Sparta Prague, currently in fifth place. On Thursday, the club struck midfielder Karel Poborský from its roster after the player publicly criticized the team's coach. Jaroslav Hřebík, once adored by fans in his first stint with the club, is now under enormous pressure to resign following one of Sparta's poorest starts in recent memory. And it's hard to see how the loss of Poborský, one of the few genuine stars in the Czech league, will help. On Saturday, Sparta lost yet again, this time to arch-rivals Baník Ostrava. Ostrava beat Sparta in Prague for the first time in 24 years, and Ostrava fans showed their glee by waving huge banners, praising Sparta's coach, the final score 2-0. Karel Poborský, meanwhile, has made a move to 2nd Division České Budějovice, where he will play on loan from Sparta until January at least. Everything went swimmingly for the player in his first game at the weekend against Olomouc B. Poborský scored twice and set up a third to see Budějovice dominate 4-0. Turning to the national football squad, fans will not be happy about news from the German Bundesliga, the loss of Jan Koller, the giant striker who plays for Borussia Dortmund. Koller suffered a serious ligament injury on Saturday, with sources saying he will be out of action for 6 months. His loss comes at a difficult time for the national squad, facing final qualifying matches for the World Cup. Koller is all-time goalscorer for the Czech national side with a tally of 40. Look at tennis now, and 3 days of drama at the Davis Cup semis ended in defeat for the Czechs, dramatically ousted by Germany 3-2. Germany knocked the Czechs out for the first time ever out of the elite 16 World Nations group. Despite valiant play by Tomáš Berdych, who downed German stars Kiefer and Haas in 2 5-set thrillers, it wasn't enough. Though Czech Tomáš Zieb got off to a great start in the final match, taking the first set and leading the second 4-1, opponent Tommy Haas turned everything around and broke Czech fans' hearts.
Finally, we look at hockey. 10 days before the official start of the NHL, legendary Czech goalie Dominik Hašek is proving he's back in top flight. On Friday, Hašek backstopped his new team, Ottawa, to a 3-0 preseason win over Pittsburgh. And although he played only half the game, for Czech fans, the return of one of hockey's most formidable goaltenders can only be an important development. That's all the news in sport.
You're listening to Radio Prague, and it's time now for the latest edition of Talking Points, where Dita Asiedu looks at how the elderly are perceived by Czech society.
I'm fed up of people thinking that the elderly are mostly senile, slow, sick, and have to be treated like children. It's true that our body isn't as fit because we suffer more from back pain, have problems with our joints or other such health problems. That's just a part of the aging process. We take it as part of life, and we're just as fit physically and mentally as anybody else.
Says 63-year-old Yaroslava Bartová, who was willing to speak to Radio Prague but did not want to be recorded. Yaroslava speaks on behalf of the remaining 20% of the Czech population over the age of 60 years, who say Czechs are full of stereotypes about old age. Research Institute for Labour and Social Affairs sociologist Lucia Vidovičová says this is a common view in most countries around the world, and there's a name for it, ageism.
Ageism is usually taken as discrimination on basis of age. I would rather say it's a kind of ideology, a commonly shared notion that there's a qualitative difference between different stages in a life cycle. There are, of course, differences between life cycle stages, but they are not qualitative. Even youth have some bad times and good times, and as well as older age has good times and bad times. But ageism is saying us that, I may say, everything after 50 is bad.
The Evangelical Church of the Czech Brethren, Diakonia, works with and cares for over 3,000 older men and women a year. Last year, it commissioned two sociologists to look into how the media portrays the elderly. Lucia Vidovičová was one of the sociologists who conducted the study.
We are not very happy about the results, to be honest, because themes or the context in which older people are portrayed, it's not very positive. It's mainly in the connection with the need of the pension reform, which means that they are there somehow directly or indirectly accused that they are using our financial resources and they are taking it out from our societies. And the other main theme was the criminal acts. They were victims or they were even the offenders. So if we would read only newspapers and watch this news, this is the message you will get. They are taking our money and they are offenders or victims.
The study analyzed all primetime news broadcasts of the country's three main TV stations and covered all issues of the five leading dailies throughout the year of 2004.
To say that old age starts with the retirement, a lot of people who just went to the retirement will say, no, this is nonsense, something new happened in my life, but I didn't become old by the day I left my work. And I don't believe that there is one particular point in time when you start to lose some things. This is a process of life. You know, we are born and we start to get old first day. There are some theories which say that we are growing older even, you know, in the mother's womb. So that's nothing new for us. We are in the situation that about the year 2030 in Czech Republic, one of the third of the population will be over the age of 60. We have to change the view and the expectations about the old age.
According to Lucia Vidovičová, excerpts from Czech newspaper articles such as this one indirectly tell readers that the elderly are responsible for injuries because they're irresponsible and careless.
The North Moravian police have filed charges against a 68-year-old pensioner whose dog bit a 7-year-old girl last summer.
If the owner of the dog was under the age of 50, the newspaper would either not call it news or not bother to give the person's age. Pavel Vychopen, the director of Diakonia, wants to change this attitude.
The issues related to the aging and to seniors is a very complex problem, and there are many things which must be improved. And the image of seniors in the media is full of stereotypes which are rooted in the past, which have to be destroyed, and this is what we want also contribute to.
But Yaroslava Barta, who currently lives on a pension of around 5,000 crowns a month, which is a little over $200, says the media cannot be blamed for all of pensioners' problems.
I do not want communism to return, but have to say that back then pensioners really had it better. They enjoyed more respect from the rest of society and led a more comfortable life. Today's government has failed. The pension system has to be reformed and we need more money. You can only lead a normal life if you're willing to give up your social life. But if you want to keep on going to the theatre or meet your friends at cafes, it's virtually impossible because you just can't afford it.
According to Pavel Vychopen, the media can make a difference even in this respect.
This is a very powerful world. The media can create pressure on the state, can form the public opinion, and this is a very powerful instrument. And so if the media are, so to say, on our side in a struggle to create better image of seniors in this society, then of course I believe the state will have to accept it as well. So I believe that the role of the media in the struggle for the society more friendly to all generations, media play a very important role in it.
After presenting the results of its study to the media, Diakonia now hopes to introduce a codex that journalists should use in the future when reporting about the elderly and old age. A brochure with all the basic information on aging and the advantages to old age will also be distributed to some 100,000 families around the country. And according to Lucia Vidovicheva, much hope is in the future generation of pensioners, who are now becoming aware that old age is something they'll not be spared from.
It's probably something also in the Czech culture, which we have this path dependency, that we are not used to doing advocacy for ourselves. There are just few groups today who actually doing this advocacy for older people. For example, United Kingdom is example of good practice, how they really stand for the rights of older people. I mean, all this ageism issue and all this stuff are coming from these countries. And this is very new for us because we are not used to think in these terms at all. But this is going to change because, as I said, this huge increase in older people in year 2030 means I'm going to fight for my rights in older age. And this is the also new generation who is much more rich, have seen the world already, have been traveling, and they are bringing the change as well.
Bývala svá milá veselější, ach olvej veselější. Ale teď si holka bledá, ale teď si holka bledá. Snad ti to srdéčko vyspat nedá, ach olvej vyspat nedá. Ale teď si...
That brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. Don't forget that young and old, we want to hear from you. Do write us a letter. The address is Radio Prague 12099 Prague 2, or send us an email, english@radio.cz. And of course, check out our website, www.radio.cz. But for now, have a very pleasant day, very pleasant evening, and do tune in again tomorrow.
Vyspat nedá, ach olvej vyspat nedá.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Europe. 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe. 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre. 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.